The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God. Stay blessed.
Today I'm going to preach on a topic, and I pray that by the end of it, you make sure that you have a copy of the message. Tell the next person, get a copy of the message. I want you to please stand with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 32. We're reading from verses 10 through 13. Deuteronomy 32 from 10 through 13. And the title of the message is Becoming an Eagle of God. Not becoming a chicken of men, but becoming an eagle of God. So let's read from verse 10. He found him in a desert, and it's referring to Israel, and in the waste howling wilderness, he led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up a nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Verse 13. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might... Amen. That he might eat the increase of the field, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. In verse 10, the first thing is that he found him. That Christ discovered Israel lying in a place that was not very good. Number two, he led him, which means he offered leadership to Israel. Number three, he instructed him. He guided him, just as he led them by the cloud by the day and by the pillar of fire by night, and he spoke audibly to them, he guided them. And number four, he kept them, which means he protected them. So first of all, he discovered them. Secondly, he offered leadership to them. Thirdly, he guided them. And fourthly, he protected them. So God, when he finds you or discovers you, he will begin to offer leadership to you. Then further, as he instructs you, he uses that to guide your feet and to guide your life. So you must allow God to guide you. Don't be a Christian that is guiding yourself and doing things the way you like. God will want you to be in a service, and if he wants to see you in the next service, don't be stubborn. Just yield yourself and allow him to guide you. And then he kept them, which means he protected them. Prosperity without protection is meaningless, because the enemy can invade your camp and take away and loot from you and even harm you or destroy you. So he didn't just discover them and offer them leadership, nor guide them only. He also made sure that they were protected from the beasts of the field and from the birds of the air and from assailants and from heathen nations that they came into contact with. So this is the preamble of my message, but the message itself that we're going to look at, we're going to look at it in four parts, based on the text that we have read, and we are picking these from verse 11. The first thing is stirring up the nest. Stirring up the nest. The second is flattering over her young, flattering over her young. Flattering is in your Bible. The third is spreading her wings abroad. And the fourth is the flight lessons. So becoming an eagle, we are told that God will stir up the nest. He will flutter the wings over the young. He will spread her wings abroad. And then the flight lessons begin. Now the first point, what does it mean to stir up the nest? Why does Mother Eagle stir up the nest when little eaglets are in it? Eagles fly alone. They fly at very high heights. They only come down when they notice there is a prey to catch. Eagles will generally build their nest on top of the mountains, in between the little cracks in the rocks, or they would build their nest in the highest available tree. They will survey all the trees, and the highest where they know no man can get to and no hunter can get them, that is where they build their nest. Now, they use pieces of broken sticks, pieces of sticks, to build the nest so that it's strong. And when they are done, they line it with soft material so they may go and pick the skin of an animal. You know, they are able to catch rabbits. So when they catch a rabbit, they are able to skin it, preserve the skin, and use it in lining their nest. Sometimes they take young lambs and again use their skin, and sometimes they find some wool. So it makes the nest very, very tender and soft, very comfortable. So the little eaglets rest in it without feeling the piercing of the sticks. Now it is said that these little eaglets, because of the comfort of the cushion in the nest, they become so comfortable that they don't even want to fly. So they keep eating and eating and eating, and they gain weight, and sometimes they become overweight. So when Mother Eagle notices that if she doesn't teach them and take them through flight lessons, they will never be strong, and they will never know the culture of eagle. They will never be swift, and they will never be agile to get their prey with that precision and power that is required of eagles and move away swiftly so nobody gets hold of them. She has to take them through some lessons. And the first thing she does is she starts stirring up the nest so that the lazy, overweighted eaglets that are not disposed to getting out of their nest and that do not want to try the flight lessons are shaken a bit, so they will desire to move out. So Mother Eagle begins to remove the soft materials from the nest, the soft linings, the cushion, if you like, from the nest. And all that is left now is the framework of the sticks that she originally constructed. And these sticks begin to pierce the back of the eaglets, so they become uncomfortable. When they get uneasy, they start making efforts to leave the nest. Now, God, when he's dealing with us to make us eagles of himself, he also employs a similar strategy. When he notices that because of the lining that he has placed in our lives and in our nest, we are not desirous to move out of our comfort zone and to move and be adventurous and act in faith, what he does is simply he comes to remove some of the lining, the soft materials from our lives. Then begins a new experience. The sticks in the nest begin to prick us, and somehow we get uncomfortable. So we begin to get out of our nest and start living a life that will take us to maturity so we can handle the things of life and the things of God. If I will pick the example of Joseph as an illustration, his life, his nest was lined by the father. He was given a coat of many colors, distinguished among the brothers. He was treated with preference. He was shown the best love in the family, and that typifies the lining inside the nest. But there came a time that God began to remove the nest. So that's when his brothers conspired to sell him into slavery, and his coat of many colors was removed and dipped in blood, and they used it in deceiving his father that he was dead. Then they sold him far away to the Midianites, and somebody who was living as favored in his father's home suddenly became a slave somewhere else. Never imagined. He had just gone to visit his brothers in the field, and somehow they had another idea completely unknown to him, and he ended up somewhere else. Many times when we go through challenges, we have lots of questions for God. But at no time did I find Joseph asking so many questions about what must have happened to him. I woke up on a fine Thursday morning. I said I was going to the field to see my brothers. Then they took hold of me, put me in a pit, removed my coat of many colors, saw a band of Midianites, on a journey, sold me out to them, and then after a few days, I ended up as a slave boy somewhere in a foreign country. All these experiences are part and parcel of God's activity to remove the lining from your life. And many times when the lining is removed, we have opportunity to find people to blame. But we need to understand the processes God is going to take us through so that he will have a way of maximizing our relationship with him. So sometimes God will stir the nest at your workplace and make you uncomfortable. Other times it will stir the nest in your business and make you further uncomfortable. There are other instances the nest in your family will be stirred and there will be some challenges. There are occasions as well where your social relationships will be under fire. You pass here and there's conflict. You call this person, they don't want to pick your calls, they don't want to have anything to do with you. And you hear people speaking negatively about you, And for a period, it's as if you are standing alone and there's nobody with you. Don't be offended. Tell the next person, don't be offended. Don't be offended. If Joseph had been offended, he would never have seen the manifestation of the fullness of the will of God for him. So sometimes God will stir your nest in your neighborhood. The whole neighborhood will get up and start misbehaving toward you, and you may not understand, but God is removing the fine lining. Tell somebody, God is removing the fine lining. Tell the person. Yes, it's removing the soft tissues and the cushion. He wants to take you through the school of hard lessons. So sometimes it's even church. He chooses where he wants to do the thing. And you find that you're having difficulties in church. That's not when to say that I feel like God is leading me so and so. I feel like I have to move out, you know. No, take your time. Tell the next person, take your time, take your time. There are challenges everywhere. The Bible says a man that is born of a woman is a few days, and his days are full of troubles. So whether in your home, neighborhood, in business, in church, at workplace, you will still have challenges. And you can leave one country to the other, it may even be worse. You may leave one organization to the other, the beginning will be fine, but you find that the same cycle may be repeated later where you are. What you need to know is to learn the lesson of endurance. The psalmist said, I strayed away from your word, and because of that I suffered affliction. But after a while, I returned to you. In other words, straight away, God removed the lining, and he found that he was buffeted on all sides. So throughout history, God has always stirred the nest of his people at one time or the other. He will stir the socialness, the businessness, the familyness, the churchness, and your relationshipness. Sometimes he will take some material things away from you. And sometimes he may even take a loved one. And listen carefully, he may even take a loved one away from you. He may take a brother, he may take a sister. I know you don't want to hear that. He may take a husband, he may take a wife. He may take away a mother, he may take away a father, he may even take away children. God may just remove the soft tissues in your nest. And when that happens, it creates a lot of emotional pain. It creates hurts and trauma. It may further create discomfort, some distress, and a lot of unhappiness for you. It may be a period that you want to quickly pass through and get away from and quickly forget in your past. This period may still make you feel downcast and miserable and depressed. And you may not understand why you are going through such a valley. You may become so disturbed that you keep wondering and thinking, and there may be occasions of some sleepless nights, but they are all part of God removing the fine lining from your nest. Oh. If Mother Eagle does not do that, the little eaglets will be overweight and they will not fly. When you read another part of Deuteronomy, God puts it figuratively and it says Jeshurun has waxed fat. Jeshurun is a poetic or figurative name for Israel. And he's saying that I found Israel, I assisted Israel, I comforted him, I covered him, I made sure that he was not faced with difficulties in life. And Israel took it for granted. Instead of learning to grow up in maturity, Jeshurun was fat and relaxed. When people ask for, then they cease praying like they used to. They cease studying the word, and they become picky on which service to be in. When people watch far, there's a convention, there's a seminar, they don't care, they don't mind what happens. There's a home cell meeting, there's a subgroup meeting, they are picky. By the time service ends, they have left already. Jeshurun is watching fat. And God is watching Jeshurun, but he will soon remove the fine linings from the nest. And the same Jeshurun will start complaining. Many times we disturb those in charge of the prayer department. Am I preaching to somebody? Well, if I'm not preaching to you, don't say amen. But if I'm preaching, I'm also preaching to myself. I mean, say a big amen, a better amen. When Jeshurun waxes fat, she doesn't rise like she used to. Jeshurun stops fasting. Jeshurun used to go to the woods, into secluded places to pray. Now Jeshurun doesn't do that. Jeshurun will leave home early on Sunday morning to go and chase money from some village somewhere and abandon the service of God. Jeshurun, you are waxing fat. You have reasons why you should not be there. The very reasons you are signing for why you can't be in church are the very reasons where the linings are removed. So as long as you are acting the way you are, the linings will not be restored. And the period that you have to go through the discomfort may even be extended. Oh, I'm sure Hannah was fine and everything was okay till the fine lining was removed and somebody else started taunting at her, and then she became unhappy and she had heaviness of heart and her heart was filled with sorrow, and it drove her into the house of God, the temple of God, to pray. In the 70s, particularly the late 70s, lots of Ghanaians left for Nigeria. And they was fat in Nigeria. Those days, if you got that 3-1 system, huge. In a ghetto blaster. If you came with one back home, it was a status symbol. It was a sign of prosperity. All you had to wait was a Saturday morning when nobody went to work and everybody was busy washing and others were cleaning their room. Then you brought it out and put it in your porch and made it face the rest of the compound house. Then you put some music into it, maybe some Bob Marley if you're not born again. And then you blast the whole house. Push, push, cash, 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 push. So they went there, and many more went. And God was watching the Ghanaians. I said, Jeshurun has an assignment back home, but Jeshurun has abandoned it. Jeshurun now has gone to see butter. Jeshurun now is taking jam and sausages and cheese. And Jeshurun has forgotten the rudiments that brought her where she is. Now Jeshurun knows that if he goes to work on Sunday, he or she will be paid double. So Jeshurun cuts church service in order to get the double salary on Sundays. But God is watching. And then little did the Ghanaian know that there will be an aliens compliance order where the authorities in Nigeria will ask that all aliens should leave the place. So they were giving a very short deadline. Ghanaians had to find means of transportation. I mean, hundreds of thousands of them had to return. Some lost their ghetto blaster on the way. Some lost their money. Some lost the properties they had acquired. And some even lost their lives. Now, is that not sufficient lesson for us? That what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? God will always take away the humanistic support from you. He will take away those things in life that prop you and prevent you from honoring him. He will take away those things on which you place your confidence other than placing your confidence in God. The Bible says there's a place when you place your confidence, it's like a broken tooth or a bone out of joint. The only deserving place for your confidence is in God. And them that prove themselves loyal. So this period where the linings in the nest get removed by God is a period characterized by pain, I'm telling you. It's a period characterized by sorrow, by troubles, by desolation, by poverty, and by degradation. It's a difficult period, a challenging period. A period where adverse winds blow against you. A period where you cannot fathom. A young man like Joseph sold into slavery. You have not been sold into slavery yet. You are living in your own home and somebody is just disturbing you. It may be a relative of yours who is always nagging at you. And you can't stand it. Before God makes you a prime minister, he will remove the props of your father from you. He will remove the coat of many colors from you. He will take you from the place of your regular residence and from the things that your father is writing in the will for you. He will take you away so that you will begin to depend on the will of God. Before God blesses you, he will take you away from that boyfriend who is hindering you from serving him. Where you have placed your hope and you see that he has a flat screen TV and a nice tabletop refrigerator, a small fine car, and this guy has a business, you have put all your hope on him and say that when I marry him, then all my problems will be solved. Jeshurun, you are waxing too fat. Because of this, your boyfriend can call you on a Sunday morning when you know you should go to church. Oh, Jeshua, you know, Fiona. So the first thing that he says God did to Israel was the stirring up of the nest. Number two is the fluttering over her young. Fluttering is F-L-U-T-T-E-R-I-N-G. Fluttering over her young. What does it mean to flutter over the young? Just like the cockerel does to gain attention of the hen, to open the wings, and just like the turkey does to spread out the wings to gain attention of the other turkey. God has a way of fluttering her wind. That's papa, 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 papa. God wants you to look away from the things that have taken your attention so you will focus on him. He wants you to take your attention back to his plans, back to his purposes, and back to his principles. He wants your undivided attention for the word of God. The word must be priority in your life. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I know some of you say jocularly, man must eat. It is true, but man must not live by bread alone, but by every word, not some word, every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. God wants your attention back to prayer, to seeking him day and night. He wants your attention back in fasting. standing in travailing prayer. He wants your attention back. That is why he will flutter the wings over the young. He is seeking your attention for the work of ministry. You've been doing your own thing. You've neglected the house of God. Have you forgotten when the people under Haggai, who the returnees refused or neglected the reconstruction of the temple of God? And God made holes in their bags and in their pockets. So they worked hard and they got little. Have you forgotten? And sometimes when you neglect the work in the house of God, you work hard but you have little. Then you come and say there's a curse and there's a demon and a prophet told me. No, I know about that. Because Jeshurun has worked fat. And Jeshurun's attention has been drawn to other things. But God wants Jeshurun's attention back. So you can't defer your responsibilities to a prophet. Even morning devotion, you are not doing. Ask the next person, how was your morning devotion? Morning devotion, you don't do it. You feel too lazy to get out of bed. It says cold, it's the hammock and the temperatures have dropped to 19 degrees, 17 degrees. Let me wrap myself in some warm materials. God will flutter the wings. He wants your attention for purity. Because too many times you've been doing your own thing. You have neglected what is righteous. You are not concerned about reading on any material that will sanctify you. All you want is that you want a husband, you want a wife. So you don't care sleeping with a person even before the relationship is dedicated to God. When everything is done, that is when you want the relationship to be... No! No! That's why you must plan when you start cutting so that you settle early and it is legal and divine for you. So that at that stage when you make love to your wife, that's like somebody said, the angels will clap, not the demons will shout against you. So it should reorient you to love God and to seek purity. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So we must desire to be holy. Tell the next verse. It's about heaven. It's about going to where God has prepared for. We cannot miss it. We should not miss it. We must work hard to be a part of the number. We should not even be looking over our shoulders and pointing accusing fingers to others. We must be concerned about our lives and go and preach to others to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. This business where you live in a neighborhood and people are not married and therefore you are also not married and go out by the time you realize you have two children with a person, that is not God's plan for you. God will remove the lining from where you are and you find that you go through some challenging moments and that's when sometimes the attention of the guy is drawn elsewhere saying, hey, nipa ye bad. Tell the next person, desire for purity. Desire for purity. You can't do your own thing. You can't have your own set of rules. You don't care what the Bible says about it. When you are courting, you must have rules and regulations. There are no-go areas. And there are certain things the other person must not see. So you don't visit the person wearing some tiny attire as if the material that was used didn't reach. Oh, come on, it's getting quieter now. So God wants your attention by as early as 12. When Jesus was taken to the temple, his inclination, his attention was toward the work of ministry. When his parents, after the festival, were looking for him and then they were going around, he was surprised they were looking for him elsewhere. He said, but didn't you know I must be busy about my father's business? If we are looking for you right now, on Sunday morning, where will we find you? Early in the morning, 5 o'clock, where will we find you? Will you find you fast asleep, snoring? Or shall we find you praying? When the rest of the church is seeking God through fasting and prayer, where will we find you? You have reasons why you must exclude yourself, isolate yourself. You don't like this person. You don't like that usher. This person talked to you anyhow. And I say you have your own body. No, you don't have your own body. You are a temple of God. You were bought at the price of God. And therefore, there are things you must go through for God. Jesus said, he that suffers with me shall reign with me. If you're not willing to suffer with him, you will never reign with him. If you can't endure mere criticism and gossip, can you endure one to put a gun on your head and say, deny Christ? God is not raising weaklings. He's raising people to be of character and strength. People that can stand and travail till another brother or sister who is destined to be destroyed by the devil is delivered from madness, is delivered from premature death, and the cancer is wiped away. And come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why God is calling us. He's not calling us to be spoon-fed by the church. Every Sunday we are spoon-fed. And we go for pray for me meetings. You will never grow. If you do that, you will never rise to your potential. And you will never rise to the place of responsibility. Can I say something? The people in this church who work under others and who go to work, leave home at 6, work from 8 to 5, they are the people who come to church during the weekdays. There are some of the others who have their own business don't even come. Listen, the way you train your customers is the way they will respond. Your customers will respect you when you give the time of God to him. God will multiply that time and multiply your clients and customers to you. The people who work under others in this church are the people rather who close from work and come for prayer meetings. Oh. Those who are on their own, Joshua is waxing fat. Joshua used to evangelize, but now he has reasons when it's Saturday. Joshua, was active in the home service. I said, this is when I go out, this don't come. Keep going. Persistence is the thing that makes things work. You may be 2 for 2 years, but in the 3rd year, you could explode numerically 200. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is persistent. It is not because the other didn't come. It is doing some of the small things on daily basis over a long time. That's what God rewards. He says that if you are faithful in little things, he didn't say if you are faithful in much. He said little, so he will start you with the little. He said little by little will I give you the land. Because if I give all to you at one time, you will not be able to manage it. And you are asking God, make me a multimillionaire. First, you will start from a zero nay. And come to 100 nay. Before 10th nay. Before 100 nay. And 1,000 nay. And it will take some time before you become a millionaire. But you are confessing that God make me a multimillionaire, and you don't want to start little by little. God will draw your attention to himself because he will flatter his wing. He will draw his attention, your attention to him. God is a jealous God, so he cannot tolerate you sharing attention with another thing or another person. Well, what could that thing be? It could be movies. Nigerian movies. Senegalese movies. Indian movies. Ghanaian movies. There's no sin watching your movie. If it doesn't violate the word. But if it takes the place of God, then there's a problem. There's no sin visiting somebody and having conversation. But you talk for 5 hours, no prayer. You Facebook and Facebook with faceless people. The Bible says, little children, cleanse yourselves from idols. So number one, tell me what God will do. He will stir up the next. Number two, flutter over her young. Number three, spreading of her wings abroad. Spreading of her wings abroad. Spreading of his wings abroad signifies God revealing himself to you. When Jacob was running away from Esau after he had offended him, he slept in the wilderness and had a stone for a pillow. That night God visited him and he saw a ladder from the earth piercing into the heavens and saw angels ascending and descending. When he woke up, he anointed the place and he said, "For I didn't know God was here." It was in the period when he had left his father's house. It was in the period when the soft, comfortable linings in his nest had been taken away that God began to reveal himself to him. That was the period that he knew God was there. Take the story of Abraham. It was at a stage when he felt that it was impossible that God appeared and said, "I am El Shaddai. I'm the big-breasted one. I'm the satisfier. I'm the nourisher. I'm the strengthener. I am all that you need. And when I come in, I will ensure that you have it." That's when God revealed himself to him as El Shaddai. So spreading his wings signify God disclosing his plans. He doesn't want to draw you near or get your attention only. He wants you to understand his plans. He wants you to understand his purposes. He wants you to know and follow his principles. The Bible says to Israel, he showed them miracles, but to Moses, he showed him his pattern. God will also want to show you his sovereignty, that is, he's the final authority in the whole world. His word is final. When he speaks, no man else can change it. What he says comes to pass. He would want to show you his greatness. His greatness is unsearchable. From everlasting to everlasting he is. He wants to show you his providence. His ability to provide so you believe him and know that he's a God that can provide more than enough so you don't waver. So you don't fret. So you don't rush and make a wrong choice and a decision. God wants you, or he wants to show you his wealth. God has wealth, and he wants to reveal this to you. So God also, by spreading his wings abroad, simply means he wants to reveal his majesty. He's a king, and the greatest king. He wants to reveal his dominion and authority and power. He wants to reveal it to you. When you see it, you will not fear any other power. You will submit yourself to his authority. Men may say you are finished, but God says, I'm not done with you yet. He also wants to reveal his resources, his glory, his love, his mercies, his grace to you. The Bible says the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. There are things he cannot disclose to everybody, but those whom he, those whose attention he gets, and those who draw closer for him to reveal and spread his wings to them, he will show them some of his secrets. But first of all, he must stir up the nest. Secondly, he must flutter his wings over the young. And thirdly, he must spread the wings abroad. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, neither has ear heard, nor has it ever entered the heart of man, the kind of love that God has prepared for those who love him. Eyes have not seen. You haven't seen it. You have heard about it. Neither have ears heard. When God says he will disclose it to you, bow down and worship him. Neither has it entered the heart of man, what God has for his people. But he says to us, by the Spirit, these things are revealed. It's only when we draw closer to him that we can have that. Number four, the flight lessons. Mother Eagle, after the comfort has been taken from the nest, and the little eaglets are uncomfortable, they also start flapping their wings. And somehow they want to begin the lessons of their first flight. Mother Eagle will go pick them from their nest, take them high up, high up, and release them suddenly, and there'll be a free fall. And I can imagine one English child, but swift as Mother Eagle is, it will swing underneath it and pick it up again. That's cycle one. So Mama Eagle will take her up for lesson two, and release it again. And as there's a free fall without parachute, Mama Eagle will come under it again and pick it up. At that time, all the yoyemu is seeing you, you know. Oh, my English is finished. Oh, Pepe Jama. All the anxieties, all the fears, all the fact that you think you are finished and that you are done, and that today you are reproached, somehow comes the hand of God and picks you up. It may be last minute. It may be past the deadline. It may be at a tight corner. It may be where nothing else will work. It may be where the fire has been heated 7 times its normal intensity. And now the 3 Hebrew boys are about to be thrown in. And the persons that were to throw them in, there was a test of the fire. Testing Mike 1 to the fire bend them. So the fire destroyed them. Now the fire is real. God wanted to tell us that it was not a false fire. Now they were thrown in. By the time they were thrown in, the 4th man was already in the fire. Oh, Mama Eagle. You think you are finished. And you can't get the school fees. And the exam is being written in the afternoon. 2 o'clock. And by 1 o'clock, the money hasn't come. You have negotiated. They said they will sack you. Somehow, Mama Eagle will come and make an intervention for you. Somebody clap, somebody clap, somebody clap. That's how we walk with God. That's how. Sometimes He will lead us to the 11th hour. He will teach you how to plan. And He loves that. But there are certain times that He wants to test your faith and your obedience. You must get to a place where you say, God, if it doesn't happen, then you are embarrassed. I have sown my seed, I have prayed, I have planned, I have called upon you, I have waited. I am still trusting you. The wedding is 3 hours away and the thing has not happened, but I'm still trusting you. A call will come from nowhere. Oh, come on. Somebody's not clapping like they are believing the word. God is a loving God. He's a merciful God. It is because of His mercies we are not consumed. When everybody thinks all hope is lost, God says no. I'm beginning the whole process with you. I'm starting with you. I love you so much that I want your life to be a testimony, a shining example. I want you to know that I am God. When God does this for you once, twice, the third time you are not moved. When you see people fretting and worried and cannot sleep, you know that they have not been walking with God. God can deliver you. He didn't deliver the Hebrew boys. They were thrown there. He didn't deliver Daniel. He was thrown into the lions. And sometimes you go into the fire. Sometimes you go into the den, the pit. Don't have your preconceived notion about your own deliverance. Otherwise, deliver yourself. Physician, heal thyself. Somebody clap for our God. Come on, clap better for our God. He's a good God. Pastor, when I woke up, I was feeling a headache. Do you know how many times I've preached with headache? Pastor, when I woke up, I had a toothache. Do you know how many times I've preached with a toothache? Pastor, I had a sore throat and I couldn't talk. As I'm talking to you on the phone, even my throat. Do you know the sore throats I have that I've preached with? Pastor, my back. Hey, do you know how my back has hurt me before? I like the footballers. Sometimes they have pain. They will be injected with medication that does not, you know, violate what is required. And they will go and play. Their heads will be bleeding. They will bandage it and head the ball with the same head. Christian, once more, hey, Pastor, hey, Pastor, Ubasolebiane. Reverend Hyde, when they come, Ubasolebiane. Sometimes it's abuse of the pastor. So when I preach like this, I know they don't come near me. We are here to agree with you and we'll ever agree with you. Because Paul said he would always request for prayer that a door of opportunity be open, that God will give him utterance, that so and so and so. God, Paul was always requesting for prayer. It's an arrogant pastor who doesn't request for prayer. The same man who said, I pray in tongues more than all of you, he requested for prayer, but he was praying himself. I do. But you are not supposed to abuse the head of the prayer department. Bring things that God has just removed the line. Go and endure. Sometimes I will counsel you and pray fine for you. Fine, pal. Go and endure. I know today you don't like my message, but if you do a little prayer, you just clap a little for me. So Mother Eagle releases them free fall, then picks the eagle from underneath, and the same process begins. The eagles will be terrified, they'll be frightened, they'll feel that this free fall is to death, but the swiftness of Mother Eagle just plucks them from danger. God is with you. Even in the highest heights, God is with you. In the lowest depths, He's still with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Somebody shout the biggest amen you ever. When you are rich, He's with you. When you are poor, He's with you. When you are joyful, He's with you. When you are downcast, He's with you. When you have increase, He's with you. When you are expecting fruitfulness, He's still with you. He's with you in the morning, at noontime, evening. He's with you throughout the night.
Pastor, I didn't come to church because there was no money. I understand you. I do. You can make an excuse for once, but it can't be excuse for always. It can't be excuse for always. Sometimes you get stubborn and you get angry at God and you get rebellious. But sometimes God may have prepared somebody in the service that when you walk into that service, there's a package for it. The person comes and looks around and doesn't find you. Then he sees another and says, this forehead, God is telling me something. And he gives some money to the person. Your breakthrough for that service is gone. You don't know how many hearts God is staring toward you. That's why the Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of the brethren together. Forsaking, which some have done. And it has led them to all kinds of complications in their life. Forsaking not the company, the fellowship of the brethren. God may lead a country through test flights. Their currency goes up today and falls tomorrow. The economy is strong today and tomorrow is not strong. Prices are stable today and tomorrow they are not stable. And everybody is panicking. Can I tell you something? For those of you who feel that your breakthrough is abroad, God bless your lovely souls. Oh, can I preach that thing again? Listen. Until God has specifically spoken to you, specifically, clearly, unambiguously, clearly, don't set foot out of the country. To say you're going to live somewhere and make a life there, you do not know what is there. You do not know the linings which will be removed. Can I say that again? Because I'm not getting support. May I go to my left side or my right side? I'm not getting support. I'm saying unless God speaks to you expressly, don't attempt. For those he wants to go, it's even natural. Some don't pray for it. You find that all the documentation just worked. They are picked from here. They are gone. But to think that you go to another country and God will not pick the linings from the nest, you are joking. It may be tougher there, you alone, in winter, in a place where you are an illegal immigrant. I know some people who were going to marriage of convenience so that they will regularize their stay. And these people, you know, some were women, they want to pay some gentleman $5,000 so that the guy will marry them and divorce them after some time. And the guys ran away with the money. I've met many of them, they ran away with the $5,000. Who am I going to tell? What are you going to tell the police? What was the money for? Tell the one seated by you. Then bloom when you are planted. There are some countries that I started visiting in 1988. How many years now? Next year will be what? 30 years of international ministry. I have come back home all the time. The Bible says, oh, come on. Your going out and your coming in is blessed. When I'm leaving America, my coming out to Ghana is blessed. The fact that one person has prospered there doesn't mean your destiny will also be easy like that. Be careful. Be very, very, whatever what you're saying, I mean, the people, they've gone there and prospered. I have also been there, and I've seen people who are still struggling, used 20 years to get one documentation. They had nothing, their colleagues had worked here and built houses, raised families, and were traveling around the world. Church. I remember my wife and I in 1988 we met a young man in the UK trying to make a living. He had been there many years and he was riding, I think, a bicycle, and he was knocked down by a car. Spent some time in the hospital. He was doing courier deliveries. And another time he was riding and some children were playing with rubber bullets and he landed on his forehead, he collapsed, he went to hospital again. Then at one time he was riding in cold conditions, in wintry conditions, on the motorcycle, and police arrested him and mistook him for another criminal. They asked him to lay on a rainy day in cold winter on his belly on the streets while water was flowing, till they called a police vehicle to come and pick him. So after a few days behind bars, they realized it was a case of mistaken identity. Now whether to go out or stay in the house, he didn't know. Tell the next person, bloom when you are planted. Don't leave your family and say you're going to have a marriage of convenience somewhere and break your covenant. It's devilish. It's devilish. When you break it, you open yourself to attacks. And the attacks will start hitting you in that foreign country. Oh, I'm losing some of my friends. But forgive me, I'm just a messenger. I'm like a mailman that works at Ghana Post. I brought you a letter. If you don't like it, look at the address of the one who sent it. And go on and reply that you don't like it. But Tete Jama is a mailman. He only delivered the letter to you. I belong to a courier service. I just assign that you have received, and I am gone. Can you clap for them? So God is making eagles just like Mother Eagle raises the eaglets to be strong eagles so they stand on their own. They are strong to fight and very combative and know how to hunt for live prey, not dead prey. God is raising eagles who will not scratch the ground like chicken and fight in compound houses. Come on. God is not raising eagles who will act like chicken and quarrel and envy every little prosperity of another person. The ground is too crowded, but the air has wide expanse of space. Oh, there are traffic jams on the ground, but there's no traffic jam in the air because you can fly at different heights. Don't be a chicken. I end with the story of that man who discovered in an isolated barn an eaglet. Pick the eaglet and brought them in the midst of some chicks that had been hatched. And it will go out with them daytime and come back to roost. Eat little worms on the ground. Scratch the ground, but it was an eagle. One day it looked up in the skies and saw other eagles. And when he looked at them and looked at himself, he saw that they were of the same species. And he looked at the other chicken and realized they belonged to another category. He said, let me try my flight. And when it hopped and it went up, it began to soar. And then he left and joined the eagles. You have been in a class where God knows you could have been higher. It is not by getting angry or frustrated or complaining or pointing accusing fingers at others. It is by going through the lessons of God. It is by allowing God to take you through the four processes we have looked at. Stirring up the nest, fluttering over her young, spreading her wings abroad. And going through the flight lessons. I believe you are destined to be great. And look at the next verse, then I finish. You see, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, which has been our text, we have been dealing with verse 11. We started from 10. But to conclude, look at verse 13. He said, he made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the field. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. God will make you ride upon the high places of the earth. God will make you ride upon the high places of the earth. In Isaiah, it says that the heritage of Jacob shall be yours. You need to go and study about the heritage of Jacob. How God said he will bless him and prosper him and increase him and enlarge him and favor him. You need to go through the processes of God. When your heart is right, and we pray for you, no country will refuse you entrance. Put your hands together. I know some people who left here, full believers, Holy Ghost fire. Today they are unbelievers. Yeah. Moving with some Spanish ladies who smoke and drink alcohol. Oh. Live with them, not married to them, have a child with them. Jeshuram. It's wax fat. You want to go and do marriage of convenience? Be careful. You may attach yourself to a witch. And by the time you realize, your manhood will not be working. I'm prophesying to you right now. I like the whistling. If it hasn't happened to you, you don't know what it feels like. I remember some decades ago, it happened to a man who went out of his home. And the fire was quenched. So he told the wife, and I was called to his home, and I counseled him. And when I prayed with him, the same spirit that raised up Christ, Makataya, quickened his mortal body. And you mean, for the rest of the story, turn to the book of 2 Chronicles. May the Lord bless you. Oh, is that how you are clapping? Oh, then I'll collect my message back.
Thank you for listening to this message. We sincerely hope you are blessed. For more information on these podcasts, email us at tetejangma@yahoo.com or call us on 0249 333 575. Stay blessed.